And now it's time to listen to the least heard podcast on the web, brought to you by the least read website on the web. It's time for the Gurgler Live. Your host, Derek Otterman.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Gurgler Live. This is your host, Derek Otterman. This week, we have a special guest, a guest well-known in the southeast Queensland region, and I'm introducing Forrest Glenn.
Oh, thank you, Derek. That's some very generous applause.
Oh, yes, sure is. And I think Rover the dog is back as well. So, well, thank you, Rover.
I think there's too many people applauding for the amount of people that actually listen to this.
Oh, no, this is a live studio audience. I mean, you can
Of course.
There's that phone again. I don't know why this phone keeps on ringing. Just hang on a minute. Thanks, Forrest.
I'm screening them.
Hi, this is Derek Goddam, and you're on the air with the Gurgler Live. Who's this?
Yeah, g'day, mate. It's Pitt Russell calling here. Pitt Russell, yep.
Okay, Pitt.
Pitt as in Bradley, Russell as in, I'm not really, Russell
right.
Arnold from, yeah.
How can I help you, Pitt?
I'd just like to place an order, please.
An order? An order
yeah,
for what?
Yeah, so a works burger with the lot, but no onion, thank you.
I don't think you understand, Pitt. This is actually a radio show. That's who you've called into.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, and then on top of that, three large fried dim sims, but this time, I don't want any rocks or pebbles in it, because last time I chipped it. Yep.
Did you hear me the first time? So you've called into a radio show. This is not actually a takeaway.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, that's fine, mate. I'll allow an extra couple of minutes before I pick it up. Last time I was with you guys, I bought a...
Geez, I don't know where these callers come from sometimes. Dear me. Yeah. No doubt, the Hungry Hill, if I'm right, Forrest.
Maybe Max Lane or the Crescent.
Mm, dear me. Look, we've got a jam-packed show this week on the Gurgler Live. The World Cup is still happening. All our favourite segments are back, including a new one, which if you listened last week, you might have an idea of what it might be. But there's so much in the show, I think we'll just get cracking into it. And Forrest, what a week in the World Cup.
Oh, it was. And nicely timed that we delayed recording this for no good reason until tonight. And, of course, the furor about Suarez.
The vampire.
Well, before I get into the rest of the World Cup, can I have a boggle?
You sure can.
Seems to be your boggle. My boggle.
And what is your boggle this week? Sorry, Forrest.
Okay. Well, my beef is not quite with the World Cup, but with the use of gate. Now, it's of course been dubbed bite gate. Why, when this shit happens, is it something gate?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because isn't the original thing the Watergate? That's the name of the actual hotel. Watergate, one word.
That's exactly right.
So why? It happens in Formula One a lot, and like Jerez gate. And this gate, and it's why does gate use on the end?
Yeah, you can't even define it as a buzzword because it's been around for that long, and it's, I don't know, just wankers use it if you ask me.
It's lazy journalism. I mean, what's anything gate? Well, the man on the street doesn't use gate.
Well, that's it. How about dog turd gate?
I can't think of anything better than that. No, it just bothers me why it's always gate.
Oh, and look, can we start some sort of online petition? Maybe not, but maybe. Because there's gate named after everything, there's always an online petition. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, I recently signed up to say no to B teams in English football, so I might start one there, getting rid of gate.
Well, Forrest, may I have a boggle?
I have a boggle. I hit the wrong button there.
My boggle is you probably should name B teams. How about B teams that are actually called A teams? Like Australia A and England A. When they're in fact the B teams, everyone knows that they're second-rate players, but why do they get called the A teams?
Yeah, oh, I couldn't agree more. They should be called second 11s like they deserve.
Exactly right. Well, anyway, so we digress from the World Cup, and of course Suarez, you know, people will be talking about that for some time, and I believe he's only got good feedback from his coach Mike Tyson. So
I see Evander Holyfield. He chimed in with a tweet that said any part of the body is fair game. That's good to see he's still got a good humour about it.
Well, that's it. Well, you know, he's probably he's probably bashing wives and all sorts of things now. We've got Evander.
And anything that brings former heavyweight champions into World Cup football, you know, there's your link. There's gold.
And of course, you know, then there was the English game, the English England Costa Rica game, which was a classic nil-all draw, and I don't think the result could have been even better for any of the English haters out there.
Australians are a little bit rich, though. I mean, Australians are taking such joy at England. They have ended the World Cup with 1 point, which is one more than Australia, despite the good performances. So.
Oh, you know, they are the old rival, you know, so, you know, of course there's always going to be some sort of ill feeling towards them.
For sure.
Sometimes in good humour and other times there's probably a bit more involved.
Yeah, I mean, we are right to give them crap, but we should just, yeah, we didn't do any better.
Fuck them, I say.
Looking that bad, you know.
No, you go.
Yes, it is. That's how you make porridge. Shut the F up. Talking about making porridge is not actually what I wanted to do, but I hit the wrong button yet again. Cameroon, who ironically were the last to arrive in Brazil because they were fighting with the FA body.
Yeah, they couldn't get bonuses. Paid. Yeah, yeah.
No, just win bonuses.
Oh.
So that was a pretty pointless argument. I want to say pointless, they got 0 points.
It's a bit like nobody wishing Balotelli a happy birthday. Was it Balotelli? Anyway.
No, it was one of the Torres.
No one cares. No one cares about the birthday as much as no one cares about the player.
No. Yeah, so what are we? We're up to, well, we're halfway through the third lot of first round games. So the second round, half of those games are decided.
Well, interesting games coming up are, the Americans playing the Germans. Mm. That should be interesting. And because, you know, I mean, really, the Americans are still in it. You know, they're sitting on 4 points and, you know, a draw with Germany. And if they get the good result in the other game, then, you know, they're going through. So.
Yeah. Yeah, poor old America, they were 30 seconds from automatically qualifying for the second round.
Yep.
And then Portugal got that late goal, and now they're going to play Germany to make the World Cup.
I know, I was cheering for that goal. I thought that was it was just that such a, it was a really one of the best goals, I think, of that tournament, you know.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game, and a lot of them have been fantastic.
Oh, they have. And I'll tell you why the nil-all draw with England was fantastic, because the blame game towards England and who's to blame for the... It started before the game was even played. And that's what I love about the whinging Poms for, because, you know, they sort of doomed their players in before they took the pitch.
Yeah, no, that was... It is fantastic. I think they've dragged Harry Redknapp in, and they're talking about players who didn't want to play for England who aren't even in the squad, and... Yeah, look, it'd be interesting to see the fallout from it. And the worrying thing for England is they played a lot of their newer kids in the last game, and they weren't any better than the old ones. So, hopefully, you know, in 4 years' time.
You know who should come into the squad? Kevin Peterson. No, Kevin Peterson. Why not? You know, let's get all the bad press that towards English sportsmen, and let's sort of mould it into the one sport.
We'll talk more English losing later. We'll talk a little bit more cricket. Definitely rounding off a fine cricketing year.
Oh wow! But yeah, you're right. We're still in the World Cup, and this week, one of our newer segments that started last week, and we're just going to lead into it, and that is Crapatheticals.
Yep. craptheticals last week. We did your World Cup panels of choice.
Yep.
So it's similar. Yeah, and it's basically, you know, a hypothetical full of crap, basically. So we've been testing theme tunes.
Yep.
And so let me test this one this week.
Don't back chat me. I know boats.
Oh, now that brings back a few memories. I like it.
So, yeah, that's the theme song, I Know Boats. So we'll have that up on the website at the end of the four-week run to see which one we'll keep. I'm still
certainly
the Mexican theme.
Oh, well, then we're just going from strength to strength. But, Forrest, what is this week's hypothetical?
This week is, with having watched many a World Cup game, you're probably used to the McDonald's ads, but they're having World Cup specials. As
oh, they're wonderful.
Burger. Yeah, aren't they? oh, aren't they? just to digress as ever, actually, SBS Radio stopped playing English commentaries this
week.
Oh,
did they?
And I had to listen to the day before's game in Brazilian or Portuguese. Fantastic, by the way.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure you're on the edge of your seat, understanding every play and every kick.
Look, all I needed was to know when there was a goal, of which the 30-second cry for goal, which was preceded by some unreal music and beeps and yeah, and then they, you know, you knew the players' names. That's all you need. I recommend it if you want to watch it differently. Strap on a little bit of SBS Radio in another language while you're sitting at home watching it on the weekend. Treat yourself.
Oh, fantastic! Well, you heard it here first, folks, from Forrest Glenn himself.
Yeah. Listen. Anyway. But it is. It's all worth it. I mean, you can listen to Martin Tyler, or you can listen to Pablo, or whoever it was.
so we're with World Cup, and we're with McDonald's, Forrest.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so they said I saw the Oz burger, and it's some chicken patty with lettuce. Yeah. Australia. So I think we're going to change that to a kangaroo burger.
Yes, yep.
With onion rings.
Yep, okay, well, of course. The great Australian onion ring, Forrest.
Yes, definitely. And with both barbecue, chili, and tomato sauce served with a beer.
Oh, what a wonderful, what another great idea.
Yeah, I've got another one, Russia, that's easy, it's vodka, frozen Coke. And we can recommend drinking one of those before any game Russia are involved in.
Oh, yeah.
They were battling Greece for the most boring team in the tournament, but Greece scored 2 goals today.
Yeah, yeah, no, I did see that.
To take their tally to 2.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Edge of your seat stuff with Greece.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess I didn't even think of Greece. I guess you could have a kebab or something.
Well,
no, the next one, yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could have the old Kofta burger.
Yeah, Kofta. I thought it may be a breakfast one. So we're going to just simply add sauerkraut to a sausage and egg McMuffin.
I've got a good one. I don't know speaking of continuing with the breakfast theme, what about an English blood sausage, a muffin?
Oh, yuck. Oh, I don't know how people can eat that shit.
Yeah, well, the English do.
Well, it's actually, they eat anything. They eat eels.
They eat kippers too.
And corn nog.
And pasties.
Pasties. Make sure they're only Cornish though. I don't eat any other brand.
Oh, try and give me a Brighton pasty. Oh, I'll slap you in the face with it, sir.
Or a Shrewsbury pasty.
Oh.
I've got one more, and coincidentally, it's also English. Now, with McDonald's, and you could also say with the English football team at a World Cup, you're going to expect disappointment.
Yep.
So to mark the extra disappointment this year, the English burger is going to be a raw patty with uncooked buns and no salad.
How fitting. How very fitting.
So, although you were expecting it to be a McDonald's burger and disappointing, we're going to make it extra disappointing for you.
Well, I like it. I like, there's, Well, yeah, like I've said before, they get what they deserve. And I've probably got a bit of a controversial one. And if we head up to the northwestern Pacific to Japan, and maybe a whale burger with cheese.
You mean a scientifically farmed whale burger?
Oh, yeah, because you know, science leads the way when it comes to whaling.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Maybe that's another crapathetical.
What's that?
That whale hunting is under the guise of scientific research. Maybe that's next week's. What activity you can claim as scientific research
I like it. Well, yeah, and leading into it, and then of course you at home, if you have any ideas, well, we'd be more than happy to receive them.
We've actually got some responses from last week's crapatheticals, but we'll deal with them later.
We'll get some of that later. Now we're time for the NRL news, and this week it's brought to you by.
Are you sick of the rat race? Are you tired of wasting time in traffic? Not that I would know about traffic, because I failed to pre-qualify for any of my 13 previous Formula 1 entries. Well, that doesn't mean that I can't solve all your traffic problems. Please accept the new offer from Pedro Chavez Motors, the Chavez Scooter. Zoom around Madrid, or Valencia, or even outrun the bulls in Pamplona. We believe the Chavez Scooter is the ultimate in-city driver. So come on down to Chavez Motors. We hope that 2 years is better than one. Come on down to Chavez Motors. Satisfaction not guaranteed.
Okay, well, we're back to rugby league news, NRL, and of course we only start in one place, and that's our favourite team, the Papua New Guinea Hunters.
Oh, the Hunters. And so last week, if I believe, they did drop down to third, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it seems to be coinciding with our following them on this podcast, and they're down to sixth.
Oh, down to that? Geez, that's a big jump for us.
Yeah, but it's a tight comp. They're only 21 points in sixth, and second is 23, so...
Wow. And well, who did they play on the weekend just gone?
They lost to East, 22-16.
Oh, East, that's right.
And Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, well, you know, it would have been different if it was at Karina, you know.
Mm. Yeah. But it doesn't get any better because they play the competition leaders, Northern Pride, next.
Sorry, who?
The Northern Pride, that's the other...
Oh, the Pride. I thought you said Tribe there for a second.
And Pride.
Well, I was going to bring up all sorts of... things, but well, hopefully they can turn it around. You know, they've certainly got the talents and they've definitely got the entertainment factor there. So hopefully they can turn around. And what about the National League for us?
Well, I think the good news story, apart from New South Wales finally winning the Origin,
don't
have to hear any more of the bloody Origin. No, 8 years, both sides of the board. I'm sick of them whinging about not winning it. I'm sick of Queensland boasting about winning it.
Exactly right. Yep. Now it's over and done with.
Yeah, I was also quite happy to see that despite all the forearms and near punches and scruffing and all the dirty play, that a slap in the face akin to a Three Stooges movie was the only thing penalised really in the first half of all the rough play. That was nice.
Oh, well, you know, judiciaries in all codes, you know, sometimes it's quite laughable and you wonder who sits on these and you know, what game they're actually watching, because... sometimes you think they must be watching a completely different game.
Yeah. But one other feel-good story is the Sharks.
Oh. Down there in the Shire.
Yeah, who haven't scored a point since the 17th of May.
Haven't they?
No, they've had two byes and three losses to nil. So 26-0, 30-0, 18-0. So they haven't scored a point, let alone won a game since May.
Wow.
So they're coming up to Brisbane this weekend.
Oh, hang on, did you say Forrest is a feel-good story?
Well, sort of.
I don't know who's feeling good about it.
Well, Paul Gallen's their captain.
Oh, and so I guess every Queenslander would be feeling good, I guess.
Well, yeah, there's talk the coach doesn't want to coach them and that Paul Gallen should take over, and it's hard to argue. They need to do something.
Well, you'd think so. Like, you know, having a losing streak is one thing, but not actually getting even a field goal or a penalty goal, let alone a try, that's some real trouble down there.
That's giving your fans value for your dollar, isn't it?
I mean, it was a big weekend anyway. We had the Formula One in Austria, Forrest.
Yeah, we did. So what have I got for this week in general sport that we're up to? Yes. Yeah, well, the Austrian Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Hosted now at the Red Bull Ring, which used to be called the A1 Ring, which used to be called the Österreich Ring.
Should be called the Mercedes Ring now, shouldn't it?
Well, yeah, just about. That looked pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's a bit disappointing. I thought there might have been a bit of a battle towards the end, but it just never seemed to happen.
Broken promises.
And Williams. Yeah, I think Williams lost an opportunity to have a win. I mean, they were first and second on the grid, and I don't know, it's disappointing. I mean, they came third and fourth, but...
Oh, yeah, no, they did a very good job of snapping defeat from the jaws of victory, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just thought, lost opportunity, you know. Continuing down the list, Vettel's certainly inherited the Mark Webber number 2 car from last year.
Wow. Yeah, it's an amazing story, isn't it? You know, sort of, he's world champion, and, you know, just to go from hero to zero, and I'm sure there's a lot of Mark Webber fans that are sort of not too unhappy about it either, I guess.
Yeah, I guess they're in the English World Cup territory there, a little bit of sort of joy at it.
For sure. And what else happened? US golf?
Yeah, just one more thing on Formula One.
Vettel retired.
That's all right. He ran into someone and then retired to avoid getting a penalty, which they're now deciding after the race. So that opens up a nice little loophole.
Yeah.
Of cars to run into each other and then just retire so they can't get in trouble. So if someone gets pushed off the track, they can fix a car and come back on, run them off the road again, like run the person who ran them off the road.
Well,
there'd be retribution left, right and centre. It'd be fantastic.
Well, to quote one of our heroes, Forrest, every team needs a goon.
Or Roberto Ravaglia, I drive where I want.
Well, yeah, take your pick of either of those two, but,
I love that moment. Paul Ratter said, "Oh, what just happened down there? I drive where I want."
just for Formula One fans that didn't already realise how arrogant you'd have to be a Formula One driver, I think that was the perfect moment to realise.
Anyway, yeah, better. We could talk Formula One all night.
Oh, well, we could.
But yeah, that'd probably be boring for the women's US Golf Open fans.
I'm sure they've been chewing, biting their fingernails in anticipation.
Yeah. Okay. It was won by Michelle Wee.
Okay.
And that's all I know. And it's in the US. We like to update the majors. She was remember, she was the protege who was playing golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Majors. What 12 or 13 or something, wasn't she? Or even younger. Yeah. Or
who? Some 11 year old didn't make the cut, but only hit like, you know, 10 or so over. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, Merry Christmas to her parents too, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't go around Royal Mango Hill in less than 10 over.
With
perfectly sculpted mound greens. There's always a few divots in those greens.
Oh, no, they were speed holes. Speed holes in the greens, they were.
They slowed the ball down, I take it.
Yeah, they didn't. Oh, did you think I meant speed it up? No, they slowed it down.
Well, talking about speed, the perfect segue into just letting people know that the V8s happened in Darwin last weekend. And that is all. I don't know the result.
Oh, well, okay. Oh, yeah, they're the crickets.
I'm going to guess and say Ford won, because I've got a choice of, nice choice of 4 or 5 now. Makes it hard. Makes it hard to ignore the V8s.
Well, you know, I'll put them in the same category as the English soccer team and fuck them.
Yeah. So what else we got? We got, well, talking about England. They lost to Sri Lanka in the recent test.
Dear me.
They're on the ropes and bravely, they're basically trying to hold out for a draw.
Yeah.
And came down to the very last over where they lost the last wicket after the tail ender had been hanging out for hours.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking stuff.
Well, it would be if it was us.
But
and
it's
not them. No.
So.
No. And I just think it's just putting, because, I mean, we had the Ashes 5-0, then we had the one-day series. That was the cherry.
Yeah.
And then we had the 2020s, which was like the icing sugar. And then we had the 2020 exit, which was sort of mixing cocaine in with the sugar. And then the continual. Then the Kevin Peterson saga, now losing to Sri Lanka. Now it looks like, you know, their Captain Cook is under pressure. And it's just, you know, it's like a turducken of joy.
Well, they're definitely sort of, if they're not already, they're definitely close to rock bottom, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and Shane Warne's fighting with them as well, so it ticks so many boxes.
Good old Warne.
The smugness after their Ashes win in England, where they still thought they were the greatest team in the world, it's not even a year since that smug happened.
I just love it how Warne sort of, you know, he checks the newspapers and goes, huh, I haven't been in the newspaper for 3 days. I've got to say something.
Yeah, it's the Clive Palmer of sport.
Oh, I don't think there's much better of an analogy than that.
Yeah. Well, possibly Shane Warne gets a few more females interested than Clive, but...
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're lining up outside the door. Not unless Clive's paying them.
Yeah. That's a thought. We'll leave well and truly in the gutter.
And speaking of Clive Palmer, but that's a perfect segue into this segment. Yes, that's right. It is the Pointless Poser. And Forrest, what is it this week?
Well, something you pointed out to me a few weeks ago was the Police Academy movie.
Oh,
yeah. Actually on the Go channel, they're playing every Saturday night at 8:30. They're playing them 1 through 6. So I haven't confirmed whether Mission to Moscow has been included.
I haven't confirmed. Channel 9, I yet to confirm.
And I think we'll be fighting over the rights who gets to play it.
Oh, I'd love to be in a boardroom for that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's go versus 7, mate.
Oh, dearie me.
Well, one of the Foxtel channels.
So which week are we up to? I think the weekend was their first assignment?
No, yeah. So basically what I came up with the Pointless Poser is because my favourite one's coming up, number 4. And I think it's everyone's favourite, but we thought we'd just throw it out there on the website this week and on the podcast and see which animals, which are their favourite Police Academy movie is, 1 through 7.
Right.
And possibly we might even throw in favourite character as well.
Right. Well, Forrest.
Yeah?
Sorry, I was going to say, ask which one is your favourite?
Well, that's the one being played this week, and it's number 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Citizens Cop.
Yeah, the cop program, so original. It's a very sort of well thought out, original, and great play on words. Probably it'd have to be a Lassard thing, wouldn't it?
You'd think, you know, Lassard is such a, you know, he comes across, you know, in the films as being a bit daft and you know, a bit absent minded, but you know, now and then you just see that little bit of brilliance in that little sparkle in the eye.
Definitely.
And so, who would your favourite character be?
Well, I mean, the obvious one's Zed, I reckon.
Yeah, yep. Good old Bobcat.
But also, you've got. I'm always a fan of Proctor.
Oh yes, yep.
Yeah. Who's the little fella? Sweet Chuck.
Sweet Chuck.
Wait, what if we were to... Yeah. You've got to have one Buffhead.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who my my favourite character, is are the jet skis from the from Police Academy 3.
Jet skis.
Well, when and I believe they're called Wave Runners. They're the ones, the jet skis that you know, we know the common shape of a jet ski, but these are the ones with the suspension and the skid on the front, and they sort of only you only went around in the 80s, and they usually had fluoro sort of colours on. But of course, you know, for those that saw Police Academy 3, or for those who've seen it, you know, the final scene, I think about 43% of the movie is the final scene on jet skis, and where the they just happen to be in the right place at the wrong time when the governor's ball is being about to be robbed, and the mask, the mannequin mask that the bad guys wear, you know, it's just it's a great scene in television, and didn't get the awards that it deserved. But if I was to name another favourite character, it'd have to be Mauser. It would have to be Mauser.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up. The Mauser versus Harris debate.
Yes.
And I think Mauser's actually quite underrated as the sort of bad guy.
Yeah, for sure, because he was a bit more subtle than what Harris was, or G.W. Bailey was. And
He's subtle in Police Academy. That doesn't seem right.
I know. Well, you know, when you compare the two, Forrest, But an everlasting image from all of the Police Academy films is the one where Mauser loses the eyebrows and the wackiness that ensues from him trying to replace his eyebrows. It's just a classic moment in the films.
I think we might have to have more than just one, because there's also the what's the best title chase, you know, the end chase sequence, and you're going for the Wave Runners, aka the jet ski. But I mean, riddle me this: how does one come to a police chase in hot air balloons?
Oh, I sort of could have put the words in your mouth. It's very true, isn't it?
Wouldn't that be a refreshing change to see that ran down on the Gold Coast instead of the fancy helicopters? How about hot air balloons? We'll throw all those. We might have like four different polls this week for Police Academy. We need to get it out there.
It's in their minds. You know, as you wait for the first match of the World Cup to come on, you know, it's just a nice icebreaker for the evening.
I always thought that the most frustrating thing was that we couldn't be everywhere at once to solve every crime.
All right, so that's a pointless poser for this week, and I've no doubt that we'll be hearing a lot more about Police Academy in the movies and their favourite characters. Now we'll move on, and we'll go on to the AFL news this week, brought to you by...
Sometimes in life, when soap stars fall into obscurity, they usually return... that involves either drug-related mishaps or failed musical releases. Well, what could we do at the Gurgler than the best possible thing and reassemble the cast of E Street to record some of their favourite hits? We have Marcus Graham reprising Wheels into Born to Be Wild. Penny Cook leaves her soul in Total Eclipse of the Heart. Tony Martin, not from Get This, does a wonderful cover of Crying in the Chapel. Melissa Jane Cook, Melissa Talks, and Tony Pirin do Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. Ernie Patchett does Pub With No Beer, and Brooke Mikey Anderson rounds it off with Cop Killer. There's more though, 348 songs on 4 CDs, just $19.95. You can get them from the Gurgler website. $488 postage charge, postage handling.
It's a double bunger crap fantab. Peter Blakely's Crying in the Chapel by Tony Martin.
Oh, what year? Was it 90? Peter Blakely Crying in the Chapel, was that like 90?
He'd won an aria.
Oh dear me.
The epitome. He achieved the smallest amount of time possible. He won an aria and then disappeared.
Where is he now? That's exactly right. That's enough.
Well, my mum would ask crying in the chapel. hugging his aria cooler in the fetal position in the corner of the
And we're back to the AFL news, and look, you know, not that much to report really. It was sort of one to sort of, you know, to care about anyway. You know, teams won, teams lost. I mean, you know, it was kind of a bit of a boring week, and sort of I don't really care much for it.
Fair enough. We have a week like that.
Yeah, you sure do. But I think the most enjoyable thing about the AFL news is the sponsor, is the ad, and of course, you know, what some wonderful memories from E Street there, Forrest.
Yeah, wasn't it, Mr. Bad? Is would be everyone's favourite.
Been at this a few weeks now, and sort of, you know, our mailbag has been is open, and you know. Forrest, we do have some feedback for this week.
Yeah, we do. Now, we've got a couple of responses to our pointless polls and our crapotheticals. So we'll start off with the pointless polls. Someone said, love Sabago.
Oh, yep, yeah. It's a great potato.
Yeah, and the other one said, good to see potato talk back on the internet. So that was nice.
That was nice. I mean, we do acknowledge that too. That it's been a bit long between drinks for talk of potatoes. Mm. And we're happy to bring it back.
Yeah. So our crapotheticals. I'm not sure if this person is fully serious, but they've suggested that the World Cup panel that we mentioned last week could be the cast from Agro's Cartoon Connection.
Wow. Yeah.
So Agro's your front man, Gibbo's your stat man, Gibbo was famous for what?
Oh, those fucking overalls.
Yeah, there's nothing like a big bearded man in overalls, like a 40-year-old man in overalls.
Playing with kids.
No, different era.
And actually, that's a perfect lead into the very first installment of and this is a new segment called Are They Dead? We spoke about it a bit last week, and the first one is, of course, you know, we can't go past, we've just mentioned him, is old Gibbo.
Yeah. So instead of the where are they now, we've got to try and work out whether he's dead or not.
Was it Ian Gibson?
That's something we should have researched.
Oh, dear me.
I only know him as Gibbo in those bloody overalls.
Oh, and the beard, you know. I mean, you know, it was a red. He had it was a bit of a red hair, wasn't it? And I do believe his name was Michael Gibson, actually.
Michael Gibson.
Yeah.
Gibbo.
You know, and what we're going to do for us is I found this quite a, you know, we're all going on about his denim overalls, but I've actually found a picture of him wearing the...
White ones?
Oh,
white ones with paint splatters all over it?
That's him. That's exactly him.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I pictured.
Yeah, as you would, but yeah. You know, of course, you know, I'm sure anybody of our era and a little bit before and a little bit after, of course, can picture Gibbo and his gravelly voice, going back, you know, he was in a lot of skits with good old Crikey the Clown.
Crikey. You know what? I'm sort of also interested. I hope they are alive and they're somewhere in some garage, still practicing skits from back in the day with a sort of paper mache agro. I just thought of someone else who might actually be a good fit in with those. Is, you know, instead of the stats man, Gibbo is another colour man. We could have Blackboard from Mr. Squiggle as the stats man.
Blackboard, you know, he just comes across as that kind of, you know, the man that would, the go-to man for stats, you know.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking of that, like, you know, because Gibbo's not really a stats man, really.
No. No.
Blackboard would be, though. And so grumpy,
too.
Maybe telling him. There'd be no stuffing around under his watch.
No. Especially if you had a pencil for a nose, you know.
Yeah. You know what else they could do, though? Is that instead of having replays, because they probably wouldn't be allowed to afford it, maybe they could have Riverdance recreations of all the goals.
Wow.
Mm.
What a wonderful idea.
I wonder how they do the Suarez bite, though.
Wow. I'd imagine you would get a paper mache head. So it's all head, no body, and then sort of just a big mouth. And then, you know, I think if we got the creators, that the people, the company that made the costumes for Lion King the musical, and maybe we could get them to make a Suarez papier-mâché head, and I reckon that we might sort of get close, I think.
You think if he gets 2 years, what's he going to do with himself?
Well,
maybe Luna Park.
What a week. What a week. What's going to be your highlight for the week coming?
Well, sorting out the podcast issue, apparently people can't download it. But I can guarantee you, you can download it. It's just currently in Morse code. So.
Right. So if for those that can decipher Morse, then I'm sure you're really enjoying the coverage.
For the nautical fans out there somewhere out in the Indian Ocean, it's a big raider.
Yep. And for those that can't stick shit at the moment, well, yeah.
No, we're exploring other avenues.
And you know, because it is an audio, it is a podcast. We don't have a screen, technical difficulty screen we can put up.
Just picture it.
Yeah. Picture Gibbo doing a striptease with the overalls, with the old one of the overalls off the shoulder, and just looking at you seductively.
Yeah. I wish someone could do an artist sketch of that. Any artists out there, an artist sketch of Gibbo, a little glance over his shoulder, you know, showing a little shoulder with that. Oh, now you're talking.
Oh, dearie me. I think on that note, we will have to call it a day for this week. And look, on behalf of everyone, Forrest, I just want to thank you for your help this week.
No, anytime. It's all good.
And for those that have been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know that we've been signing off with a commentator's impression as a goal gets scored, and we've got a special one this week. And
yes, pinch it from another show, but it's well worth it.
Oh, of course, and we're never adverse to pinching things off other shows. Don't worry about that. So, thank you for listening this week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.